Hello and welcome to another My Tunes podcast with me, Mark Tiley, on Manx Radio. The morning show, we feature a guest every week. They choose four tracks and have a chat to us. And the one you're going to hear now is so beautifully diverse. Charles Gard. He just has so many facets to his life. We could have spent a month on this, but we had 4 days. So here it is. Charles Gard, My Tunes.
Mark Tiley, the nation station, Manx Radio.
My Tunes on Manx Radio, the morning show with me, Mark Tiley. And my guest this week has been elusive. I've been trying to track him down for quite a while, but I'm delighted to say he's with me today. This is the pre-record, by the way. We are separated by the appropriate distance, just so anyone's worried. We're not face-to-face in the studio. It is Charles Gard. Thank you, Charles.
It's a great honour to be here, Mark. Thank you.
It's lovely to have you. The trouble is, when I started going through everything you've been up to and are still up to, rather than have four tunes over 4 days, we should really have done hours of this. Because to say you're involved in a lot is an understatement. I listened back to our mutual friend, Geraldine Jameson, who interviewed you 10, 12 maybe years ago or something.
Yes.
And she only scratched the surface in a full programme. Well. But we'll do our best. We will do our best. If you don't know Charles Gard, you'll have seen his work on video, you'll have heard his music, you may have come across his work with the Manx Heritage Foundation, as it was before it became Culture Vanin, Milltown, and of course, masses of work with Manx Radio. Mm. We'll come on to Manx Radio later. I'd like to start with a story of your life as a young guy, because I remember when we first met 12, 13 years ago, I can't even remember, you told me about life in the boarding house when you grew up in Douglas and what was going on in there as a young boy.
I was born, I can see it out of the window here, in the Grasmere, which is right next to the Palace Hotel. Sadly, it's been demolished, but I was born there in 1951. 8 years later, my parents moved along the terrace to the Hydro. So I was born in a boarding house. And now I look back, I realise what a fantastic privilege that was, because in the 50s, our hotel industry was still going at full throttle. Those scenes you see of the beach with thousands of people there was how it was. And in the Hydro, 180 guests, we were doing 540 meals every day. I mean, it was full on with all the laundry and all the staff. And it was just a fantastic machine and great fun.
Those heady days of mass tourism.
Absolutely,
to the Isle of Man.
Yes.
I take it then that your bedroom would probably have changed from the season to the out of season. You might have got a better room when there was nobody around.
That's a very good point. In the winter, we were sleeping at the front. In the summer, I was moved up to the back. I had all my toys and everything there. And then there was a knock on the door. And when I opened it, both my parents were there, and I knew what that meant. Mother would say, "I'm sorry, Charles, but your father needs this room. We've arranged for you to go and live with Auntie Violet."
Did you like Auntie Violet?
Well, did she like me? That was the thing. No, she lived up in Devonshire Road, Auntie Violet, Uncle Bob, and that's Mother's sister and brother-in-law. And I spent the summer up there. I came down to the Hydro every day to eat. But it was a very dislocated life. All your toys and books were locked away in cupboards and you didn't see them for the whole of the summer.
And there they were, gone. When did you get the broadcasting bug?
Well, even now I look back, when I was at school, I used to have a little tape recorder and a friend and I would record mock radio programmes. I would play the organ and he would introduce it and all that sort of stuff. I then went away to study at the Royal College of Music and was in Ireland for 3 or 4 years. And I was desperate to come back to the Isle of Man. I applied to be the manager of the Gaiety Theatre, a job that was open at the time. And the chairman of the Arts Council, Major Jeff Crellin, I later learnt, said, "Well, what does he know about the Gaiety Theatre?" Which was a very wise question, because I knew nothing. But then a position came here at Manx Radio in 1977. And I came back and was here for 12 years.
12 years at the helm. Mm. And in those days, I mean, goodness me, mandate?
We started mandate in 1982.
Yeah.
Yes. But I first came back in 77 as head of religious programming. And what that actually meant was sending back to America hundreds and hundreds of pre-recorded religious tapes. We were the only commercial station in the British Isles, the only one that could broadcast paid-for religion. So we had Pastor Perry F. Rockwood, Midnight Cry to the Virgins, Oral Roberts. All these people were broadcasting on Manx Radio every week, but we never sent the tapes back to America. And when I came, there was a room full of them, and they were saying, can we have them back, please? So I spent the first 6 months wrapping up these tapes in brown paper parcels and taking them down to Regent Street Post Office to send them back to America.
Amazing. No, because that still goes on. I mean, we still have some sponsored religious programming.
Yes.
On a Sunday night.
They were awful, though, some of them. We actually had a half hour from Belfast every week. It was the Reverend Ian Paisley's service broadcast live. And that was something to listen to, I'm telling you.
I bet it was. Thumping of tables and
gnashing. Thumping of tables and the gnashing of teeth.
Yeah, all of that.
And teeth will be provided, as he said.
We will talk so much more about music. We'll come back to that tomorrow. But let's have your first piece of music for this week.
Well, my first piece is what influenced me, or what I loved at King William's College. I spent 9 years there as a boarder, which is another story.
No scars. I can't see any scars.
Emotional scars.
Okay.
Serious emotional scars, yes. And what was happening in the late 60s, of course, was this duo, Simon and Garfunkel. And I just loved them. I loved their music. I loved the lyrics, the sound they made. And for me, if I was to choose any one of their songs today, it would be The Sounds of Silence.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell. Echo the wells of silence. The people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, the tenement halls, whispering silence.
My Tunes on Manx Radio with me, Mark Tiley. It's a pre-recorded interview with my guest, Charles Gard, done in all the proper 2 metre separation. Just don't worry for us. We're all OK. We're hanging on here. Charles, thank you so much for this. It's great to have you with us. As I mentioned at the start of yesterday, where do we go with your story? Because there are so many elements to it. But I think, I hope, I zone in on something that is at the heart and centre of your life, making music.
Making music, certainly. Well, actually, at the centre of my life is the Isle of Man.
Right.
And that inspires anything I've ever done, really. I was desperate to get back here after music college and living in Ireland for a few years. And it's just the scenery, the history, the folk music, the folk tales. It's just such a fabulous place to be that all the films I've made, except for London from the Air and one or two others, have all been about the Isle of Man. And the music has flowed from that.
You've composed so many pieces. Primarily, I know your instrumental work, but presumably you've written for all sorts of things.
Yes, I mean, there was a period when I was working for a film company, which was partially based on the Isle of Man, and I did quite a lot of background music for documentaries for Channel 4 and the BBC. And I also worked with Willie Russell. I did the theme music for one of his short BBC dramas called Terraces. And then I did a 90-minute drama for the BBC called The Man from the Prue, which had Jonathan Pryce and Anna Massey and Susanna York in it. So I spent time with them on the set in Liverpool and then wrote the music and had to conduct it in a big session in Birmingham, which was pretty terrifying, actually. But that was a real experience, yeah.
It's always been there in your life. Has it ever been, if I can call it, the bread and butter, putting meals on the plate and paying the rent? Has it ever been a full-time occupation, or has it always been alongside other work?
It's always been alongside other work. I have to say, I was going to be a cathedral organist, or so I thought, and I studied organ at the Royal College of Music. It was quite clear that I wasn't at that calibre, to be perfectly honest. I haven't got the discipline to do the 8 hours a day that I think you need. And in a way, I'm glad because I've done so many other things with filming and producing books and talks and everything, all to as high a standard as I can do, but none perhaps to world-beating standard. But it's been a much more varied and exciting life than if I was just playing one instrument round the world every day.
And as well, you play the harp beautifully, because I've heard you do that many times.
I do a bit of Irish harping. Well, I did
that's,
do, yes.
That's a
yes.
sense. That's an emotional thing. It's a beautiful. It just touches the
Absolutely.
Touches the heartstring.
Yes. I'm ready for heaven.
You look good on a cloud. Not yet. Organ music, we'll have some tomorrow. We're obviously going to have something from your catalogue at the end of the week. But take us through today's piece, please.
Today's piece is called The Secret Island. And I did a cassette, or as we did in those days, called The Secret Island, using the poetry of Mona Douglas. Now, she was a great friend of mine. She died in the late 1980s. She was a folk collector and poetess. And I was working with two excellent Manx singers, Marlene Hendy and Dilys Sowry. And I came across this beautiful poem called The Secret Island by Mona. And I said to Marlene, how about you setting it to music? Well, a couple of days later, she came back to the studio with this absolutely exquisite song, and it's become a classic in its own right. So I arranged it, she sang it, I plink a bit on the harp, and it's a perfect setting of these tremendous words, very emotional, about the Isle of Man. And Marlene has done, this is her singing it, an absolutely perfect job.
Land over the sea, green hills.
My Tunes on Manx Radio. It's a pre-recorded segment with my guest, Charles Gard. We did it through all the appropriate channels, separation, and etc., etc., so nobody was harmed in the process of this. But it's lovely to have you with us, Charles.
Thank you.
Absolutely lovely to have you here. Lifetime Achievement Award 2018, and well-deserved.
Yes, that was very nice,
was
actually.
Was it a shock?
Complete shock.
Really?
They actually got me into the villa under delightfully false pretenses, pretending I was a judge of all the other entries.
Oh, that's good.
And then at about 5 to 11, I was sitting at a table, as you were, and they suddenly started on the Lifetime Achievement Award, and it dawned on me in about 30 seconds that actually it was going to be me. So that was a shock, I can tell you. And you're then up on stage and you've got to say something coherent. I can now think of all sorts of things I should have said, but it was a bit overwhelming. But that was wonderful and very kind.
Oh, very, very, very well deserved. We're going to finish up the week tomorrow with a little look at Manx Radio's history. Mm. But I want to talk about Manx Heritage Foundation, as was Culture Vanin, as is, because that was a huge part of your life for 20 years. Mm. And when I suggested that music was at the heart of your life, you said, no, it's the Isle of Man. Mm. And that obviously was a massive connection to everything Manx.
That's very important, because my idea of Manx culture is everything that we do on the Isle of Man. And I made sure that the foundation was involved in archaeological digs, World War II, the language, the music, our customs, but also our architecture, the history of the boarding house, the history of the finance sector, the history of mining. I produced or commissioned books on all these subjects, because that is the Isle of Man, apart from its beauty and, you know, the amazing scenery we've got here and the beaches and the light and everything is fantastic. So I define Manx culture in the widest possible terms.
I think that's important for people who embrace it. We all know quite a few Manx speakers who aren't Manx born. They've come over and learnt it, decided to learn it, or they will be fantastic ambassadors for the island, even though they themselves aren't born and bred Manx people. Were you able to embrace that? Was that a difficult thing? People trying to say, look, we love it too?
Not at all. No. I mean, very often it's those people who come over here and say, well, do you realise what you've got here? Because we don't. Often. And I always say, of course, that after the last ice age, there was no one on the Isle of Man at all. So at some point, everybody and everybody's family has had to arrive here as a come over and a stay over. Yeah. And if we don't constantly have people coming in and refreshing our culture, it'll just die. So no, I have no problem with that at all.
Your next piece of music goes back, well, you mentioned you thinking, actually, I won't be an organist, but we have got Simon Preston lined up for this. Tell me about this.
Well, Simon Preston, sadly now retired, but one of our great organists, is playing here a piece by a composer I guarantee you won't have heard of, called Siegfried Karg Alert, a German composer from the middle of the last century. He's playing it on the organ of Westminster Abbey. Now, as a boy, a teenager, I was obsessed with church organs, and I used to go around collecting all the details of them. And I went to the Royal College of Music and studied the organ there for 4 years, but then realised that being shut away in a cathedral loft was not my scene. So this really is just to represent that period in my life. And my father, having spent all that money funding me at the Royal College of Music, was fantastic when I said, actually, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to live in Ireland now and play the harp. And he said, OK, which was very reasonable of him. This is a piece, it's only fairly short. It is a piece that I once was able to play and make quite a good a go at. But, of course, that was many years ago.
And it is?
It is The Triumphal March by Carg Alert.
My Tunes on Manx Radio, and my guest all this week has been and is Charles Gard. And sadly, and I say sadly because we have so much more we could talk about, we could have done a couple of months worth of this, Charles. It's the final part. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me. It's been fascinating.
It's great to have you here in exploring the music. We need to touch on Milntown today, which I know is a passion, but I need to just go through Manx Radio with you a little bit. Your time at Manx Radio was that the whole station was really being moulded into something more than it had been. Is that fair?
It's definitely fair. We started Mandate in 1982, and to my astonishment when I look back, 99% of the Manx politicians had never been on Manx radio.
Wow.
I remember sitting down in the newsroom and thinking, gosh, is that what he sounds like? We'd never heard any of them. So we then started this daily current affairs programme, and we had everybody on, everybody at all, business people, farmers, commissioners, MHKs and everything. And it sort of set the political agenda on a daily basis, done with my dear late colleague, David Collister.
I know, you'd have to mention David, because we're both at his funeral and you spoke so beautifully.
Well, he was such a tremendous person, fantastic. Yeah. So the two of us had a riot, actually.
Yeah.
It was great fun, it really was.
He was a character. I mean, my goodness me. A totally wonderful, honest, generous man, but
absolutely
didn't suffer anything. If he wanted to call it, he'd call it.
He would. But he wasn't a prima donna.
No.
You know, whereas I probably was, people would say. He was just rock solid. There was no ego with the man. He was just fantastic.
Well, yeah. It was really, I think, you laid the foundations for what Manx Radio is today. And between
well,
the
part
two
of
you.
It, yes.
Well, definitely. And news editor, you were as well.
Mm-hmm.
Milntown. An absolute incredible story of what you've done. How did you get involved, and how long a process has it been to get it where it is now?
Well, I was invited to a trustees meeting about 15 years ago. I assumed I was there to offer some heritage advice. And when I sat down, the then chairman said to me, Charles, would you like to join the trustees? And there's only four of us. There were three then, and I joined. They've all changed since then, of course, because most of them have retired. And I said, yes, fantastic. At that time, there was no cafe, there was no car park. It wasn't ever open to the public. And we've had to start from scratch and develop the whole thing, as we are doing, to make it. I think it's the only stately home, a small one, of course, on the island that's open to the public with its grounds. Sadly, not open to the public at the moment,
at this time of recording,
no. We are doing, if I may mention it, Milntown on Wheels.
Absolutely.
We're doing home delivery services under the strictest conditions. Our heroic chef, Sean, is the only person in the kitchen, and he's self-isolating at home, so he's not in contact with anyone. It's the only way we can do it.
Yeah.
But, of course, as we all know, all these businesses that are struggling have to be there to pick up again when we're ready. So we just have to hunker down and hope for the best.
Well, let's hope that's not too far away. As I say, at the moment, the cafe isn't open, but hey, let's look forward to it all coming back.
Indeed.
Someone's looking after the garden, I hope.
It's closed, but the gardeners are still working there. Yes, outdoors, yep. Obviously keeping their distance.
Yeah.
It's a great pity because the gardens are just beginning to come in. We'll be putting lots of photographs up of the azaleas and rhododendrons and everything, so you can view it vicariously.
Charles, thank you for this week. And thank you, because you might not know, dear listener, that Charles, you're still a director of this Manx Radio company, Radio Manx Limited, to give it its formal directorship.
Indeed.
And thank you for your input. We worked together on that board for at least 10 years.
We did, yes.
And
yes,
had a lot of fun together.
Great asset.
And it's still going strong. It wouldn't be right not to have a piece of music from yourself. No embarrassment. You've written far too much. So, who was that guy on Desert Island Discs who chose every one of his own?
His own, yes. I can't remember his name, but he came in with eight of his own records. Roy Plumley was very polite. But, I mean, there you are.
Yeah.
So I hope you don't mind me choosing one.
I would insist. I would have insisted anyway.
It's simply because it represents the Isle of Man for me. I did a video years ago, The Isle of Man from the Air. And this piece, do you know, I went up in the helicopter and I said to the pilot, look, it was a wonderful sunny day, fabulous green hills, sparkling blue sea in July with all these little white fleecy clouds. And I said, look, first thing I want to do, I want to fly through that cloud and I want to fly round that one. A silly indulgence, but we did. And it was spectacular having a cloud right next to you.
Yeah.
And then I saw the southern hills covered in heather. And this piece, with its theme, it opens slowly with the violins and the horn call and then bursts out with the big theme, is, for me, my reaction to what I saw that day, the wonderful colours and the Isle of Man in general.
Thank you, Charles. And we talked about the Lifetime Achievement Award. It's like a stick of Manx rock. There's not an element of you that if you went like that, it wouldn't say Isle of Man on it. And thank you for joining us this week.
It's been a pleasure. Thank
and
you.
This is Southern Hills, yes?
Yes.
Beautiful. A wonderful piece of music, composed, performed by my guest all this week, Charles Gard. Thank you for joining us here. It's Mark Tiley, My Tunes, part of The Morning Show, brought to you by Shore Isle of Man. And even though their shops are currently closed, you can still talk to them on the phone, get in touch with them online or on Facebook, and they'll help you out with a new phone or changing tariffs or whatever you need. And if you haven't already downloaded the app, the Shore Isle of Man app, that's a good thing to have on there because that helps you with top-ups, etc. Thanks again for your company. There'll be more My Tunes right here on manxradio.com very soon.